Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. You're working all things together for our good. And you're giving choices to people. Lord, we pray that you give grace to those who are your elect, Lord, to make the correct choices. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to do Apostate Church Witchcraft number 2. And this first article is by myself, The Fall of Babylonian Religion. You know, it's very obvious now that our Father has raised up a beast kingdom as a demolition crew to tear down or burn down all the wood, hay, and stubble built on the foundation of Christ, which is, of course, all of man's works, and that's a considerable amount. And you can be sure that everything built on the shifting sands of this world will go, for everything that can be shaken will be shaken, according to the word of the Lord. In a vision, I was standing on a mountain and looking down the mountainside, and I saw a construction crew coming up the mountainside, putting up the big metal power poles for high voltage power lines. And then I looked down beside me on the ground and I noticed a very old, emaciated looking cow lying there. Some of you probably remember this revelation. It looked as though it was about to die. Next to it was a very large baby boy that I knew had been born from that cow. Next, I saw a front-end loader come and scoop up the cow and carry it away. I picked up the baby, walked over, and got on an escalator. And as we were going up, I noticed a woman next to me with a normal-sized baby. And looking at my baby, she said, "That looks like a real baby boy." So watching the front end loader carry away the cow, I said, "Yeah, I wonder how that's possible." Well, it is, and it's happening. And then the scene changed, and I was walking into a minister's conference, and all the famous religious leaders of the United States were there. A famous minister who everyone knows and who I felt represented a generation of ministers walked over and handed me some papers. Then the Lord said to me, "This is his propaganda about what he has accomplished." I would say this is the wood, hay, and stubble in most cases. If we've accomplished anything, it's by God's power and according to his will. And grace, for a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. So God gave me the interpretation in my spirit. The power lines are the power of God coming to faithful Christians in the kingdom represented by the mountain. The power will not come until the old cow, the Babylonish religious system of men, are moved out of the way. Just as new wine cannot be put in old wineskins. I was told that the old cow was the golden calf, now come to full age and passing away. And in Exodus 32:4, speaking of the golden calf, they said in Hebrew, "This is thy God." God here is the literal, is Elohim, just as it is in verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God. Aaron proclaimed a feast to the Lord in verse 5. And Lord here is in the literal, YHWH. From what some people call Yahweh, which is adding to the words, actually. In other words, they were calling the golden calf Elohim and Yahweh. or YHWH. They were giving God's name to a false god. So as far as you go astray from the Word of God, of course your God is not the same God. We're warned in the last four verses of the book not to add to or take away from the words of the book under penalty of a curse. And that's the reason, because you have to have the real Jesus, the one created by the Bible, in your heart, right? So they were giving God's name to this false god. And let me just say that if you've been sold on a Jesus that looks different from the Jesus of the Bible, guess what? You are worshiping the golden calf, the old cow. The old cow is another Jesus, as Paul called it in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. He was the Egyptian Baal, the false virgin birth son of God from Babel. And you will take on the image of the Jesus that you follow, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So whatever Jesus you have in front of your face, that's the one you're going to follow. Okay. Hence, the old cow represents those who have taken on the image of a false Jesus. And as this old cow is being moved out of the kingdom, the greater works will be manifest through the true disciples of Christ, represented by the power lines, the high power lines, right? The greatest beast army the world has ever known is about to come against what is thought to be the kingdom of God by a lot of people. They are the construction crew that will move the Babylonish cow out of the way. A remnant baby will come out of this cow and come to maturity, which is Zion, as in Jeremiah 53 through 12. The escalator represents the rest, the ceasing from our own works. This is the whole problem with the Babylonish system. It's man's works. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It has to be burned. And that's as in Hebrews 4, 10, and 11. This ceasing from our own works through faith in the promises, according to Hebrews 4 and 13. You do not walk upon an escalator. You just rest. God's land of rest is standing on the promises as God told Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it. Joshua 1 and 3. Jesus taught us that everything we pray for, we are to believe we have received it, and we shall have it, as in Mark 11 and 24. And if you believe that you have received, you will cease from your struggles and anxiety to bring it to pass, according to 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And also Hebrews 4 and 3 says, "For we who have believed do enter into that rest." And this is a ceasing from our own works, because the works are already accomplished by God. And we just believe we have received them. And then we watch God do it, either through us or through others around us or whatever. And for instance, if we ask God to deliver us from some sin or sickness, as in 1 Peter 2:24, or some other curse, as in Galatians 3 and 13, we must believe that we've received, since these promises are all past tense. Well, notice, bear our sins is there, were healed is there, redeemed us from the curse are all past tense. Ephesians 2 and 8 in the original Greek says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith." It's past tense. You can rest in the Lord. You can rest that you have everything that Jesus is to you. He is your faith. He is your holiness. He is your Redeemer. He is your sacrifice. And if you have been saved, then you are saved. The word saved here in the Greek word is sozo, and is translated made the whole. What does this look like when you're whole? Well, it looks like Jesus, right? Because you're putting the word of God, who is Jesus, in your heart to recreate him in your heart and in your life. And this is as in Luke 8 and 48 and some other places. Made thee whole, sozo. You're saved. That's not just your spirit, man. That's your spirit, soul, and body. He's made provision for all of you, right? And obviously, being healed is part of being saved, spirit, soul, and body. It's also saved in circumstances, like in Matthew 8 and 25, and in deliverance, as in Luke 8 and 36. Saved covers deliverance from sin and its curses, and you have been saved at the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished, and I have overcome the world." By this rest, the baby will come nearer and nearer to God, represented by the escalator. And this will bring protection in the days to come through promises like Psalm 91 or Psalm 125 or on and on. The cow does not even believe in the protection and blessing of the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91. The cow eats grass, which Peter said was flesh, in 1 Peter 1:24. They partake of a fleshly knowledge of the word and a fleshly wisdom that's passed down to them through people who have not matured themselves. And it represents a fleshly understanding of the word. The cow only feeds milk, which we are told is being without experience of the word of righteousness. In other words, they're a hearer and not a doer. Okay? So in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, and it also represents being without spiritual senses. God showed me concerning the ministers' conference that they were the bulls of Bashan, who had been sowing their seed in the cow. Yeah. And Psalm 22, 12 and 13 is a prophecy of the religious leadership represented by bulls in Jesus' day, in verse 1 and 16 and 18, who opposed his leadership. Yep, you could tell who they were. They opposed everything Jesus did. They were jealous, angry that he was taking away their people. They thought they were their people, and they still think that today. The disciples were the new church leadership. The true disciples are going to be given a new leadership like those who followed Jesus out of Babylonish Judaism, as is shown in Isaiah 1 and 26. God gave the old covenant, but at the time of Jesus, they had corrupted it into a respect for men and traditions instead of the word. Christianity has repeated this history. Jesus came to make disciples. The Greek word is mathetes, meaning learners and followers of the word, and lead them out of apostasy. Ministers are supposed to be doing the same thing, making disciples of Christ, not of themselves, not demanding that everyone believes what they believe because they're knowledge is immature, right? So that way only people can only come to the revelation of their knowledge and the Jesus of their knowledge. So that's why we have to make disciples of Christ. Get them to read the word, study the word, and do the word. True disciples will hear no other voice but his, according to John 10 and 3 through 5, 8 and 31 and 32. And you might say, I would like to bring healing to this old corrupt religious cow. A lot of people do that. They think they can do that. But you should read Jeremiah 51 and 9. And it says, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go, everyone, to his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. Forsake her, brothers and sisters, and dwell in the promised land. Live on his promises. Receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, as in Hebrews 12 and 28. And come out from among them, and be ye separate, says 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, and many other texts. Okay, I'm going to share this revelation about diaper changes. It's anonymous, 2-9-23. I had a dream that my husband and I, about 20 to 40 other people too, were sent on a journey, walking through towns and various places, but we were not to stay in one spot. Well, staying in one spot, we shall see, is staying in the church denominations with no growth, no personal growth. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're only passing through. Our home is heaven. And 1 Chronicles 29 and 15 says, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no abiding. And 1 Peter 2:11 says, beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There are those who grow up, for they are always seeking for truth, so they keep moving. Many of these people, they move from an old line denomination to a more spirit-filled experience in another setting. And then, realizing that there is more, they keep looking. A lot of people have this experience, keeping looking for truth, studying the Word, realizing what the original church looked like, and knowing that we can't add to or take away from that, according to the curse of the last four verses of the book. So, we were all adults, and each of us were wearing their own diaper. Wearing a diaper represents not being able to cleanse self yet, right? Except a few people who were not wearing them. They would change everyone else's diapers. Yes, we have experiences like that, that there are people who just do not want to mature. Those who are mature help the younger believers by teaching them how to cleanse themselves with the promises in the Word. Ephesians 5 and 26 says that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the Word. And Hebrews 10 and 22, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water. My husband's and my diaper were both pink and shimmery. Pink means love, and shimmery means glistening in the reflection of the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, this person says. But everyone else were different, darker colors. Clothing represents our works, she says, and others were still in unclean works of the flesh. True, true. As we journeyed, we experienced so many different trials and persecution, and I felt it was all a test for us to see how we would react and handle each situation. And not only that, it weeds people out along the way who are not totally committed, you know, a little persecution, they go back to the world, right? So people randomly would mock us or drive us out of the places where we were, and I kept hearing that this is a trial and to stay calm and to not worry. Well, this is the life of believers who follow Jesus and experience the sufferings of persecution, like 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you." And 4:6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." Amen. So she said, after about 2 days of wearing these diapers, my husband and I grew out of ours, so we didn't have to wear them anymore. Praise be to God. This is the normal Christian life here, right? And as we continue to obey Jesus, you know, in our trials, you and I, we learn what he wants and how to cleanse ourselves of our past and religious ways and quickly grow up. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, For that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of one of you all towards one another aboundeth. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. And John 15:3, already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. So we know that the original word is the thing that actually cleans us up, right? Not men's additions to it or subtractions from it. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Therefore you are making disciples of Christ," who is the word, right? Not disciples of ourselves. But all the other people still wore theirs, and since we were no longer wearing a diaper, we had to help all the others change theirs because they were unable to do it by themselves. So we were happy to help the others, and we understood because we had to wear them before. Well, as we overcome the flesh and learn and grow, we can teach others how to use the promises of God to cleanse themselves, right? And John 13:14 says, "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." And 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Well, we can cleanse ourselves, we know from this word, of flesh and spirit, and that could mean your spirit or it could mean evil spirits. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we also learn compassion, and we show mercy to others, not judging the younger ones, because we remember that we were babies in the Lord too. And we are then able to comfort and minister to others. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, and through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Amen. So we just pass on what we've received, right? If you haven't received it, you got no right to pass it on, because it's not going to be right. Some people think they can go to Bible school and come out and they're ready. But the Bible says, he that overcometh will I give authority. It's you that has to overcome first. Your flesh has to be conquered first, right? So much time had passed, and we had gone through many different towns. The towns represent other congregations of people where we share the gospel. Amen. And the only food that these adults in diapers wanted to eat was fast food. Fast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, fast food represents quick food, like a short sermon, or processed food with little nutrition, and possibly prepared using the letter of the word without spiritual revelation. And all of this means feeding the flesh. Fast food tastes good. It's made to taste good. It's not necessarily made to be nutritious, right? And preachers like to make food that's pleasing to the people. They call it ear-tickling preaching, right? Preachers in diapers can't help. So this is not enough to feed the spiritual man who needs the word to grow and mature. In Proverbs 4 and 22, for they, that's the word of God, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In 3 John 1 and 2, beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, we know that people that continually do fast food, they don't look healthy. Have you noticed? And many of them are overweight because of the chemicals they put in the food to do that. Well, they refuse to eat homemade sandwiches or food that we would make at the motel. They didn't want to eat anything healthy or fresh, but only fast food, and they would go out of their way to get it. They insisted that we always stay in an area that had a fast food restaurant, and if it was not convenient or available in our travels, they would freak out and refuse anything else. Well, this represents desires to only satisfy the flesh and not the spirit man, not to make a healthy being, right? These adults in the diapers were always complaining and very demanding with their needs, although they could do everything for themselves, but they wanted us to do it for them. Yep, you all know people like that. Some people never grow up always expecting others to do the work for them. And such is the apostate church system, where they expect the pastor to feed them a few scriptures on Sunday, and that makes them happy. And they never grow up past the milk to learn more or overcome in the trials and grow up past their denominational system. Like the exhortations for the churches in Revelations 2 and 3, right? Notice those exhortations. And 2 Timothy 3 and 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is, in some cases, nothing left out. That's what it actually means, the original word. And the sum of thy words is truth. So we must seek it out for ourselves, because no denomination teaches everything the Bible says. So 2 Timothy 3 and 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, seeing that you are become dull of hearing. And that's from the fast food diet, right? For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. and are become such as have need of milk, and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Amen. She went on to say, all the other adults who outgrew wearing diapers got annoyed with the people still in diapers and didn't want to change them anymore. So they all left. And my husband and I were left alone to change their diapers and to look after them. Well, we're called to come out from among them when we've outgrown the denominations and realize that we can't help those who don't want to change, meaning repent. And 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 and verse 18, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We felt bad for them and wanted to help them come out of their diapers and for them to be able to take care of themselves. We, of course, want them to grow up and to come out of the apostate churches like the first disciples did, so they can mature into the image of Christ. And she went on to say, we kept trying to encourage them all to stay calm and be at peace through all their trials and to have joy no matter what happens. Everything is better. But they ignored all advice and kept complaining in all of their trials. Proverbs 13 and 18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth correction. In Proverbs 22 and 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 10 says, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. My husband and I were constantly on call with the diaper changing and were always woken up multiple times each night as we were the only ones left on call to help these people. Well, you know, the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, it's an offensive weapon. You have to fight. If you sit on your sword, you are cursed, according to the Bible. You have to fight. Individuals have to fight. If you're a believer, then take up your sword and come against your enemies. So, the fast food diet makes one weak in their walk and slow to understand, and they don't grow up to overcome fleshly distractions. And she goes on, whereas we just wanted to continue the journey and to keep focused and not stop for meaningless things, many times we felt to just continue the journey alone as it would go much quicker and be a lot more enjoyable alone, not having to deal with all these people's problems. Here's one thing. You have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have to grow up ourselves before we can help other people. And that's this journey that they're on, right? If people don't want to go on with you, don't let them hold you back. Continue on. And it's better to leave than to continue with those who refuse to listen. We're commanded to leave them and follow Jesus. Judgment is coming to the apostate churches to motivate them with the fear of the Lord. Mark 9 and 19 says, and he answered them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Yes, it's a pain. when you have to keep explaining yourself and explaining the words, you know. Psalm 45, 10 and 11 says, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So will the king desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Reverence thou him." And she went on with the revelation. She said the people kept wanting to stop in certain towns for long periods of time to just relax, which we did not want to do, but because we were outvoted and the people complained so much, we had no choice. See, but you're not growing as you do that, you know. And, of course, we're running a race against time to bear the fruit of Christ. Many want to stop and settle down in a church denomination, and many eventually die there. Proverbs 16 and 25 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And as you know, Proverbs speaks about the harlot that wants to capture people, and they do. Well, the people always wanted to stop in playgrounds and play around, which we felt was a waste of time. But because they all wanted it, we had to stand and watch them all play on the swings and the slide. The slide is downward, right? And many are deceived by their doctrines and traditions of religion and just want to play church, believing that they're saved and have no motivation to go any further in Christ. These children are like the Israelites who tested God in the wilderness, but he was not pleased with them, and they perished in the wilderness. And 1 Corinthians 10, 5 through 7 says, "Howbeit with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Mm-hmm. She said a few of them complained that we never go on the playground with them, so we went up this huge high tower, which had a slide. The high tower, I believe, is the Lord, who is our place of safety in heavenly places. And she said, while up there, we decided to encourage all of them to grow out of their diapers and share with them how amazing it is to not have to wear a diaper anymore, and life is much better without it. We didn't force it on them, but lovingly encouraged and testified of our experience. Every single one of them spoke about how they are comfortable in the diaper and happy with it, and they don't want to change. Well, this is the way it is in the Nicolaitan era, you know. People just want to leave everything up to the preachers, right? You just come tell us how it is, right? We don't want to study it for ourselves. So this is how many of the churchgoers are in denominations. They don't want to change, and they are comfortable with their traditions and easy flesh-pleasing doctrines, and they never grow up in Christ. She said, "This really confused us, as we know it's not fun wearing a diaper, and it honestly was a giant burden on us having to change everyone's diaper all the time, even though they were adults and should easily learn to look after themselves. My husband and I slid down the slide, disappointed that they were all comfortable staying in diapers. There were not enough people to change all of these diapers, and this job was a giant burden on us, especially because they didn't want to change." Well, in other words, they don't want to be free of the waste of the old life. They don't want to leave it behind. as we're ordained to do. So that night, my husband and I were talking about maybe we should just run away from them and continue the journey on our own. But then someone called out in need of a diaper change, and I woke up. Well, you can share the word with them and your testimonies to encourage them to leave the waste behind. But unless they have ears to hear and it's their time, you're wasting your time there with them. And we're long-suffering with the immature, but eventually the righteous need to obey Jesus and follow him out and not look back. Right? Okay, here's a revelation we called Daughter of the Harlot. And this was given to Winnie Asakeda, 3:13:22. I was with my friend on a train in the New York City subway. This is a friend of mine whom the Lord has been warning to come out of the current denomination false church that she is in. There was a very dark-skinned, overweight woman riding the subway as well. She represents the church. She is dark-skinned and overweight because the Lord is using her as a parable for walking in darkness and full of flesh, or self, or even demons. I didn't know her, but my friend Vanessa knew her. She was apparently Steve Harvey's daughter. Steve Harvey is a celebrity and self-proclaimed Christian, but is very carnal and worldly. He could represent a false Jesus and Christianity that is very prevalent, but looks nothing like the true Father in the Word. He also says there are many ways to God. I could see in a vision the woman's mom who had her with Steve Harvey. And she was also a very dark-skinned lady with a black and white afro. It was divided, black on one side, white on the other. Her mother represents the Mother Harlot Church, Babylon, who we are supposed to depart from, as the word says. And the daughter who was riding on the train with us is the daughter of the harlot. The daughters of the harlot are the false denominations, or non-denominational denominations, I would say, that come from the mother church. And her black and white afro could represent a mixture of the holy and the profane. Of course, if you dilute it, it's not the same. It will not bring forth Christ, right? And after she finished talking to her, my friend told me that the woman wanted her to go to her house. But my friend didn't seem to really like this lady too much, even though she was going to her house anyway. Well, yes, they all want you to visit their house, right? Vanessa knows that she is not being fed spiritually in her church and that it's not of the Lord, but she is going anyway. The lady didn't seem to like me very much, and I couldn't see that she was studying me closely. I represent true Christianity and a disciple of Jesus, the daughter of Zion. And just like in Jesus' day, the false church and the Pharisees will hate the real Jesus and his disciples. I knew if I went with Vanessa to her house, she would pretend that she was sick so that I couldn't come in. The denominations do not want the real Jesus of the Bible, nor the ones whom Jesus lives in. Vanessa was going to go anyway, even though I don't think she really wanted to. My friend in real life has wanted to leave, but has had a hard time coming out. I believe there could be witchcraft and manipulation involved, but I know she will escape. I could see in a vision the woman's house, and it was a very large brick house, and I could see that she had a lot of pride in it. Well, the bricks are a man-made material made out of clay, and so they are building their own earthly kingdom and not the kingdom of God. They try to impress people with their earthly kingdom to gain followers and church members, but they make the people twice as much a child of hell than themselves, like in Matthew 23. And it was behind a chain link fence. Well, I think that probably represents being in captivity to their false doctrines and bondage to their flesh. Anyway, she went on, the neighborhood didn't look like the best neighborhood, and it was very gray outside. So no sun, SUN/SON, at all. Gray represents death, too. At some point in this vision, I could see my friend's brother named Charlie was trying to let a large black dog out from inside the fence. But the door to the gate didn't stay open long enough for it to come out. Well, it's a black dog. It probably belongs there, right? I believe he was trying to help the dog escape. The dog could represent the beastly man in bondage and is not able to escape unless they turn to the Lord, true, which is the real Jesus. Amen. The lady then decided that I could come to her house after all, and I believe she was having hot dogs for dinner. Well, she makes a note, processed man-made food, not the real food of the Word of God, which is Jesus, who is the manna from heaven. Jesus said his meat was to do the will of the Father in John 4 and 34. People want to hang out with the milk and hear it over and over and over and over because that's all they can feed, right? But you just don't grow up that way. You have to do it. So having the preacher do it does not count for you. You know, you have to do it. I feel like this lady wanted to show off her large house and seemed prideful about it, but I had already bought dinner for me and Zoe, and then I woke up. By faith, I asked the Lord for a word about this dream, and I received Isaiah 5, 11, and 12. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that tarry late into the night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the lute, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither have they considered the operation of his hands. And then when he got this revelation, 9:19-21, we called, come out from among them. And it's very good. I dreamt that it was my birthday, and we were having a gathering at a large cafeteria for my birthday. And she says a cafeteria is where we are supposed to eat the unleavened word of God. But this was a mixed multitude. Okay, so there were two groups of people there, local UBM as well as a church that Chuck and I were once part of when we lived in North Carolina. When I first walked in, David approached me and took me to the side and put his right arm around me as I was standing to his right, and gently spoke into my ear and said that the people had to leave by 10:42. So now listen to this, okay? 10 represents the law, like the Ten Commandments, you know. And in Revelation 11 and 2, the outer court, representing the flesh of the temple, was to be given to the Gentiles who would trample the holy city, the bride, underfoot for 42 months. You got that? There's a parable in there. Trample the holy city, the bride is the holy city, for 42 months. And there's your 42, right? And when this crucifixion of the bride is over, the apostates will be gone from her, and the Lord in the man-child will come to her to lead her. The bride is getting prepared to receive her man-child, who is Jesus, in a newer corporate worldwide body. Right? This was because Anna had an appointment there with her baby. Okay, so Anna and her baby had an appointment there, and so these people had to leave, right? So David represents the man-child and Anna the bride in this case, who has borne fruit because she's got her baby with her, and which has an appointed time. The mixed multitude has to leave the bride before the coming of the man-child to her, as we have learned. And we have been in this process, and the last ones may have just left. 10:42 represents the time given the bride to bear fruit by the leaving of the last apostates, as you can see. I said, okay, but wondered about the short amount of time that we had to hang out and have pizza. Well, a mixed assortment of food will be up when the man-child comes for the bride, because the mixed multitude like the mixed food, right? I walked further into the cafeteria, and I saw UBM on the right and our old church on the left. The sheep on the right and the goats on the left, she said. Well, those who are factioned out are always on the left in our dreams, because they're goats, right? At first, the old church's main pastor was on the right, as well as his son. But then I saw that they were now on the left side. Well, he was possibly once on the right in the beginning of his Christian walk, but gave in to worldly lusts, which pastors get into a position to have worldly lusts, you know, because they don't obey the rules, and fell into the left, as many do who put themselves into a position of authority when you don't belong there. That's a dangerous thing to do. She went on, I went to say hello to the pastor of the previous church, and he had a very thick black beard, which he does not have in real life, as well as black hair on his head. Well, black haired represents being submitted to darkness, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? He seemed to be a bit standoffish when I went to speak with him. I then saw his son, who is a man in his late 20s and early 30s, holding a clear and black plastic container. Well, the outer man is a container for the spirit man. It doesn't inherit the kingdom of heaven, according to the Word of God, but the spirit man does. And back here means walking in darkness, right? So the black of this container means walking in darkness, but he goes on to say it had flat wood pieces in it, representing the works of the flesh. The part of the container that was clear represents that his flesh was seen by others. 1 Corinthians 3:12 and 13. I mean, we set an example for people. Pastor's sons are supposed to set an example too. And when others see that, they think it's okay for him, it's okay for us, right? But 1 Corinthians 3:12 and 13 says, "But if any man buildeth on the foundation of gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest." So the wood is not permissible. It has to go. He was holding it out. So at first I thought he was giving it to me as a birthday gift, but then realized quickly that it was for him to play Jenga with some other people at his table. Yes, they love to play. Jenga is a block stacking game where each person pulls a block out from below until the stack becomes unstable and falls and they lose the game, okay? And I would say that their foundation is unstable. They don't lay a good foundation for a building. The Bible tells us we are building a building. And it has to be a stable foundation, and there's no other foundation to be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ, right? I began to talk to him about how we would play that game with our four-year-old daughter, Zoe. But I again was met with a cold response. let's leave the games behind to the kids, you know. Like there was no interest in engaging in dialogue with me whatsoever, because obviously she didn't think he was very mature. I decided to leave at this point with Chuck, Angelica, Crystal, and India. Angelica said we needed to go to the next city so that Crystal could get the pasta sauce she had been looking for. The pasta sauce could represent the blood of Jesus. I got in the car with Chuck, India, and Crystal, and Angelica drove in her car to our right. Angelica then calls India on the phone, and I can see her from my window speaking to India. And she told India that I was supposed to have received $50 gift cards from them, referring to the previous church, as a birthday gift. Well, 50, I believe, represents the Holy Spirit who came on Pentecost, meaning 50, Penta, 50. This feast was known as the Feast of Harvest, or the Day of First Fruits. We receive power to be in the first fruits harvest when we receive the Holy Spirit. And 50 also represents a jubilee or freedom from bondage, which you don't have when you stay in the denominational churches. And if a church does not supply this gift of the Holy Spirit, it's a failure, and you should close its doors, you know, and go out. The Lord showed Angelica that they didn't give the gift because they had a spirit of jealousy. Well, they're like that because they only want you to build their kingdom. They don't want you to build God's kingdom. And when you come in there with God's word, you're destroying their kingdom. You're like pulling blocks out. Letting it fall, right? So India then passes the phone to me so that Angelica could speak to me. But there was some interference and I couldn't hear her. So did they pick up witchcraft there? They had the false revival spirit below, they found out. So they did have witchcraft there. And you can pick that up in those denominational settings. She said, "I was asking her a question that felt very important. I do not remember what it was, but because of the interference, I couldn't make out the answer. So I told her that she could just tell me in person. Well, Babylon is confusion, and we're told to come out of her for that purpose. Just when we were about to end our conversation, I asked her to please call David and let him know that I left, and if he could just have all the people leave. Well, there it is again. All of the people leave. So the man-child could receive his bride who had borne fruit. Then Chuck woke me up saying, it's 9:30. Well, the ninth hour was the end of the crucifixion for Jesus, and I would say the body of Christ too. There is a time you have to walk the crucified life, right? The Day of Atonement was on the ninth day of the seventh Hebrew month. So that kind of covers the nine. There's supposed to be an ending of our crucifixion because the old man is dead. Some people never arrive there. To the extent the old man is dead, to that extent you can grow in 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. Because as the outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed. Well, 30. We looked at the 9, let's look at the 30. 30 is the age when a priest could begin service. Jesus was 30 when he started. The man-child will begin spiritually at 30 when he comes for the bride. I also woke up to Crystal sending me a video of our old church because she wanted to show me that they had let in a false revival spirit. There you go. And I can tell you it will jump on you in those churches. This was definitely not a coincidence. I texted Angelica about the dream, not knowing that she had just asked the Lord for a word by faith and received 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. She also was not aware of the dream that I had just had. So that's pretty good confirmation there. I was pondering on the dream and thought about David saying that they had to leave by 10:42. I was led to open up the four Gospels and the book of Acts to chapter 10 and verse 42 in each book. Three out of the four Gospels end in verse 42. So that's the end, right? Get rid of all these people, you're sanctified, right, as a body, which I do not believe is by chance. Well, the 42nd time ends with the sanctification of the bride of the apostates. So in this way, it is positive. In other words, when the spots and blemishes in the body are removed, the bride is sanctified. And of course, Jude talks about these people. Matthew 10:42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There's that 42. And Luke 10:42, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And Mary, of course, sat at the feet of Jesus and grew in his word while Martha was scurrying about, you know, taking care of the flesh. John 10:41-42 says, and many came unto him, and they said, John indeed did no sign, but all things whatsoever John spake of this man were true, and 42, and many believed on him there. And Acts 10 and 42, and he charged us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All right, so we have to serve the king, right? Amen.